God is so good. We want to give a greeting out to Sister Deborah and Brother Terrell and Ava and Evan. They're going to be locked in for a little while. Appreciate Barnabas and all of you that work in that area. Folks that are home with new babies and people that are having sickness and trouble, they appreciate those wonderful meals that you cook. Dawson was just telling me that the youngest of these children that just received the Holy Ghost was talking all about it at school today. One of them goes to school with Dawson and those kids, and the others go to school with Zach and Mariah and all of those. Exciting stuff. Let's continue tonight. We're going to read again in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And we're going to continue tonight in this line of discussion. As you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for His word that is forever settled in the heavens and magnify Him. We give you praise, O God. We bless your name, O God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the privilege of handling it. Thank you for speaking to us by the power of your word. And everyone say amen. Praise God. Now, we've been working with this strongholds that Paul identifies here. Our knowledge, thoughts, and imaginations. You change your destiny. You change your direction by first changing your knowledge base. That gives rise to a different type of thought life, and your thought life is the platform for your imagination, or if you would, your vision. Now, God can short-circuit that anytime He wants to and move in and make changes and breakthrough with vision anytime He wants to, but I'm talking about the process by which we break free from strongholds in a practical and a biblical way. And so we've been talking about getting new knowledge and giving rise to new thoughts, and those new thoughts need to be God's thoughts, and we get those from His word, and we get those from communion with Him in prayer. And Paul was of the opinion that you could have the mind of Christ, and encourages us to think those new thoughts and embrace those new ways. And we've been talking about that since last week sometime. Now, tonight, let's move on into this discussion. It is important that you walk away from your house of the familiar and that you walk away from the old framing and the old constructs. But it's not enough to come out of those things. You have to have something new, something better, or you will return to those things just as a default setting in your life. If you don't replace it with something else, you'll be like Israel coming out of Egypt but dying in the wilderness because they're not able to see into the promised land because their thinking is not God's thinking. Their thinking is defeatist and full of fear and cynicism and doubt. And those things are all antithetical to faith, and so you've got to walk in a new and a positive and a faithful, an upward-looking mentality, and that's how we walk in the thoughts of God. Praise God. If Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the man is blessed because he doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and he doesn't stand in the way of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord, and in it does he meditate, he marinates, he thinks about it, he handles it. He doesn't just carry it under his arm to the house on a Sunday or a Wednesday, but he has that as a part, a feature in his life, and it intrudes into all of his thinking, and it causes him to begin to have a thought life that is different than that of his peers or where he came from, people that lived in his neighborhood. But because of that, He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf will not wither, and whatsoever. Everyone say whatsoever. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, we're very interested in that last line. I'd like for everything that we do to prosper. But it begins with getting away from the sinner and the scornful and the ungodly, coming out of that, because that tends to penetrate your thought life. You hang with people, they get on you, and it gets in you, and attitudes are contagious. And so this simple passage begins with separation and getting away from those things that are caustic to your faith and erode your faith. And then he meditates day and night in the things of God, and because of that, his thought life is different. And because of that, whatsoever he does will prosper. Everyone say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, you're familiar with that, but that's a powerful idea. And quite often people will quote that, but they'll run headlong into a problem in life, and they will not utilize that passage. When you're facing your enemy and when you're in the valley of trouble, that's when this word of God really rises up in the power to deliver you. And so you've got to loose your mind and loose your tongue and begin to say what God says. The mouth speaks the abundance of the heart. And if you say, we're going to die in this wilderness, your heart is full of fear. Your heart doesn't believe that God is a deliverer and that God is worthy and that God is able. And so you need to arrest your mouth. The proverb says, put a knife to your throat if you can't control what you say, because it will set the destiny for your life. It is an integral part of your thought life. What you say is a product of your thought life. But everybody say, I can do all things. Come on, you don't need to be afraid of anything. You've got a God that's bigger than anything you're going to encounter. Anywhere, anytime, any day. Somebody say amen. And if you walk into the valley of the shadow of death and it's your time, and if God tarries, we'll all have our time. We don't come timidly or shyly into that moment, but God's already defeated that enemy. And as I go by, I want to kick him a little bit. Well, praise God. Isaiah 54 and 17, everyone say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Don't be worried about it. Don't be anxious about it. Don't be troubled about it. But just rise up in the middle and shout on the grave of your enemy. Lift up your voice. Say what God has said. Utilize the word of God. It's not enough to know it, but there has to be an appropriation, a utilizing of the power of the word of God. Ephesians 3 and 20. How big is your God? What can your God do? What is your God able to do? Somebody say he's able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that I can ask or think. How big is your God? Oh, he's exceeding. He's an abundant God. He's got an economy that's an abundant economy. Doesn't live in a little zero sums corner of the universe, but he's able to do anything, and he can do more than I'll ever ask or think of him. And that's an incredible God. Praise God. Now, we don't have a little God. We've got a great big God. Anybody have a big problem in your life right now? Anybody have a big problem in your life right now? Come on, with your mouth, you need to say, my God is bigger than my problem. Come on, you need to praise God for it. My God is bigger than my problem, and I've got praise for him tonight, and I believe that God is able. And he's not just going to take care of it. He's going to exceed it. He's not just going to give me a little bit. He's going to come and do it abundantly. And what I was thinking, he's going to be exceeding abundantly above that. Well, somebody say praise the Lord. So that's how we need to walk and talk and think and act. And our culture needs to be permeated with that. It needs to be in our children, not children huddled in fear and doubt and despair, but children that rise up thinking their daddy and their God can do anything. Somebody say praise God. Okay, so as we're moving into this tonight then, Jude 1 and 24. Everyone say, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his presence, the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy. Now, this is how God wants your package to be presented. He said, now this is a remedy for the fear of failure. Now, you may have been the subject of a lot of negativism as a child. It may have been in your family culture. It may have been in your church culture. I tremble. I meet church folks that are afraid of every demon and devil, and they all they want to talk about is what the devil is doing. My advice to you, don't worry about the devil. Just press in, draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But just get close to God. You're not going to have to worry about all of that. You know, don't worry about the nuance of it and all the names of all the demons and getting down into the mire of all that business. Don't spend your money buying all those books. Just get into this book and get to know what God has said and get associated with what God's attitude is about all that. God is able to keep you. He can keep you. We don't have a culture of despair and a culture of worry and fretting. If you've ever been worried about backsliding, that's not God. That's not the devil. That's between your ears. You just need to get a made-up mind. If you've got a made-up mind, you're going to make it. There is no doubt in my mind that you're going to be fine if you'll get your mind made up. But don't question God. Well, I hope God will deliver me. I hope God is going to be. God is everything he's ever been and needs to be and everything you'll need him to be. Praise God. Able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. That's God's template. That's God's his desire for you. The word of God is a remedy for fear that God will turn on you or forget you or leave you. Or forsake you. People tend to project on God. Projection is an inevitable thing, but it is a dangerous and debilitating thing, because if you've had a bad experience with authority in your life, parental authority or a husband that was a negative authority in your life, it's difficult sometimes not to project that attitude about authority onto God. It's difficult not to project that attitude on the poor preacher. God help the preacher. He didn't do anything to you, you know. But it's tangled up in your house of the familiar and your past association with authority. But you need to understand that God's not going to turn on you. He's not going to leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's going to be there for you. If you go to hell, God's going to walk right down to the edge of hell. When you step off into the pit, God will have been with you. At that point, that's how faithful God is. This thing's not going to hinge on whether God is faithful. This thing's going to hinge on whether you have a mind that's made up to live for God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then Romans 8 and 31, and then verses 37 and 39. Everyone say, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us. Now, how many of you believe that God is for you? I mean, you really believe God's in your corner. You believe God's going to be with you tonight as you make your way home, while you're going Betty by, when you get up in the morning, when you put on your boots and head out for another day. Do you believe God's going to be with you? Do you believe he's with you right now? In the middle of the trouble. Now, the devil will come and say, God forgot about you. God doesn't know your address. He's lost your phone number. But that's not the truth. If God be for us, do you believe that God is for you? Praise God. If God be for us, the question is, who can be against us? Say then, who can be against us? Turn to your neighbor and tell him God's bigger than all those that come against us. The prophet's servant went out, and with the anointing of God lifting the veil on his eyes, he saw out rimming the mountains surrounding them more chariots of fire than Assyria ever thought about bringing to the battle. He came back to the prophet and said, there be more that are with us than they that are with them. Do you believe that tonight? I'm so afraid a demon's going to come. Oh, friend, if a devil comes, you got more angels on your side. If the devil himself comes, you've got a God that one day is going to send one angel with one chain and bind him up and cast him into a pit. It's not a titanic struggle. I mean, you have to get over to the place where you are consummately positive and full of faith and you believe God that He is, and things will be as God has said. Well, praise God. God is for us. Everyone say nay. That's just a resounding no. And he goes on, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now, in a sanctuary like this, a congregation like this, we've got all kinds of problems. Everybody's got a list of problems. Everybody's got a list of things that need to be achieved or things that need to be remedied. We all have problems, but our response is nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. It's not in us. It's not our good looks. It's not our intellect. It's not our strength. It's not our financial strength. It is simply we serve a God that cannot be defeated. And so we come into every situation and we come in with faith and a positive attitude, and we say, I don't know what this is or exactly how it's gonna affect me, but in everything that I confront, we are more than conquerors. It's not simply that we're going to conquer it. We're going to more than conquer it. It's not simply that we're going to stand our own. It's simply that God is going to steamroll this thing. Do you understand? It's always an abundance mentality. We're not just going to beat Him a little. We're going to beat Him a lot. No, you need to get a hold of this. It needs to permeate your mind and your thinking. This is the remedy for fear that God will turn on you, a fear of failure. Everyone say, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor politics, nor the economy, nor Al-Qaeda, nor the North Koreans, nor the Russians, nor the Red Chinese, nor my neighbor, nor my mother-in-law, nor my... I don't know what your problem is or where your pressure comes from, but we are conquerors in all of these things. More than conquerors. And he just gives you this omnibus at the end. Or any other creature. Anything that's not in the list, whatever it is, we are more than conquerors, and it shall not be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God loves you. That's the end of the matter. He'll never change. He will love you if you, by will and choice, decide to go to hell. That'll never change. It's the Word of God, the positive, the uplifting, the upward-looking Word of God is the remedy for the drag of the past. We're talking about utilizing God's thinking and appropriating God's thoughts. Well, you find them here in the Word of God. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Everyone say, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Praise God. You have to forget where you failed. I mean, okay, we want to learn from it. We want to make sure we don't step into that same hole again. We want to make sure that we don't do whatever we did that hacked off all the people that loved you. You don't want to do that again. You don't want to make the same mistakes. But at some point, everybody's got failures in their past. Everybody's got heinous stories to tell and awful experiences. And everybody has a vault of things that reach up and act like a boat anchor on your faith. And the devil reminds you and tries to use those things. And what is he doing with that? He's trying to permeate your thinking and salt your thinking with those negative images on a constant basis. That's one of his jobs, and he's excellent at it. He wants to remind you of all that you've done and all the ways that you failed. When he shows up, the prophet is standing in the presence of God before the throne of God, and the devil is at his right hand to resist him. He is covered with stains and with and with filth, and it is indicative of Israel's sin before God. And the devil is there to remind God that these people are sinners. But God immediately calls for a new robe and a new turban and fresh clothes and clean garments. And he lets you know in that metaphor that if you can get yourself and your mind and your situation into the presence of God, God can give you another covering, and God can give you another opportunity, and he's going to give you a new day and a new morning and a new chance to do this all right again. You can't change the past. There are things, if I stole your hubcaps, I can bring them back to you. And if I took things from the job, I can bring them back. And some things can be restored, but if I've done some things that are so devastating, I can't go back and undo those, and I can't take those back. And you've just got to get up in the middle of today and come to the understanding, today is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to quit looking in my rearview mirror. I'm going to forget those things that are past, and I'm going to press on. And later we'll talk about vision, but you've got to have a vision in your life or you're going to perish. Part of that is the idea of reaching and pressing on. I've got to forget about the failures. I've got to forget about all that I wasn't and all that I didn't do. If you have blown it, if you blew through, I don't know how many marriages, if you blew through how many sets of children, if you blew, you can leave wreckage and carnage all behind you and wake up at 80 years of age and look back. Do you know God will redeem you at that moment? God will redeem you right there. Most people are not in the condition of being 80 or 90 looking back on a shipwrecked life. But I'd love it if an 80-year-old grandfather walked in this house tonight and got the Holy Ghost and was baptized in Jesus' name and begin to apply the principles of the Word of God. As long as you're breathing and as long as you've got sense about you, make your way to the kingdom of God. God will. Ezekiel 18 is this wonderful passage about that. It's one of the best teachings on repentance. And Israel is upset because they're contending with God. Well, isn't the father guilty of the son's sin? And isn't the son guilty of the father's sin? And he said, no, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. You're going to be responsible for your own sin. And then God begins to do a wonderful teaching there for the remainder of that 18th chapter. And simply says, if the unrighteous leave all of his unrighteous ways and begins to follow and obey the statutes and the laws and the rules of my word, then all of his unrighteousness that he's done will be forgotten. Will be forgotten. Can't you hear God when he said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more? Why are you remembering something that God has forgotten? Why are you celebrating something God has forgotten? Why are you weeping over something God has forgotten? Why are you laying today's possibilities and today's potential on the altar of something that happened years ago? You're taking the chance that you have today and you're cutting its throat and laying it on an altar before something that you failed at or something that happened before. I know it was awful. I know it was bad. But don't you understand? You're going to perpetrate it. You're going to memorialize it. You're going to build a sanctuary to it. You'll never escape it, and it will never die. But in the midst of all that, God said, I've forgotten about all of that. I'm not going to talk to you about all that. You don't come into the presence of God and want to talk to him about things that are under the blood and things that he's forgotten about. Somebody ought to give God praise tonight for that. I don't want to build an altar to things that need to be forgotten. I want to get on. You say, well, that's too easy. Well, it is too easy. God's too good to us. It's pitiful how good God is to us. But here we are, and the promise of God is true. And we need to, according to the word of the apostle, forget about those things. Leave those things in the past. Break free from those things. Close up the altar. Shut down the memorial. The devil wants to talk about it, and you're gonna do the work of the enemy. He can go to the Bahamas. You're doing it yourself. Well, praise God. Are you glad for forgiveness? And David teaches that we need to proactively seek God in our thinking. Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God, I want you to help me. And this is a proactive prayer. God, I want you to help me that my words and my deeds and the meditation of my heart, that they will be pleasing to you. You know, God answers prayer. And God will help you. If you're not utilizing prayer in every instance in your life, if you're not utilizing prayer for your family and for your health and for your business and for whatever you're involved in life, you're leaving most of the kingdom of God on the table. You're not utilizing what God has made available to you. But if you're trying to create a new thought life, you need to go before God and say, God, I'm a mess. You know I'm a mess. And I'm having trouble staying in tune with your word. And I keep getting fear keeps encroaching and doubt keeps moving in. And all the things of the past keep tapping on the shoulder of my mind. And I can't get away from it. But God, I've come to you tonight to ask you to help me to make the words of my mouth and the deeds of my life and the meditations of my heart. God, set your hand upon my mind. Now, I believe God will actually do that. I believe it's just like good medicine. You begin to pray those types of prayers on a regular basis. You lift those up to God, and you talk in tongues to punctuate those prayers. I really do believe you'll begin to notice, just like taking good medicine, you're starting to feel better immediately. I mean, there will be an immediate change if you come to God and ask him to help you change your thinking. Well, praise God. Paul teaches us there in that passage in 2 Corinthians that we can bring every thought into captivity. Every thought. Everybody say every thought. Now that every thought in the Greek, it means every thought. This is deep. It means every thought. That means you don't have to have a mind that is out of control and spins off into places it never should go. There's a lot of traffic up there, but you can be the law. You can be the police officer in that intersection where your mind and everything else comes in. And Paul says you can bring them into captivity. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 6. Everyone say, be careful for nothing. Touch your neighbor and say, don't be anxious for anything. When somebody's late, it is not human nature to think, I know what they did. They stopped along the way and they bought me a cake. But it's human nature to say, oh, they're in a ditch somewhere dying. Oh, they never will come home and all our life is going to be changed. Well, that happens sometimes to people, but don't let that be your default setting. You know, you need to exercise control of your own mind. And with your mouth say, something good is about to happen. Something good is on its way. Do you believe that? Be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything. Well, Brother Sam, you don't know what I have on me right now. You don't know the weight I'm bearing right now. You don't know the report I just got. Oh, I'm just reading to you from the Word of God. I didn't write it. This is the Word of God. You believe this is the Word of God? Okay, don't throw rocks at the mailman. I'm just bringing it. It said, don't be anxious for anything. That means if he says it, it means it's first a good idea, and it means it's possible that you can not be anxious about anything. Are you anxious about anything? No, George is not. You see George any time of the day or night driving down the highway. He is. It's impossible to think that you're anxious, Brother George. He's always been like that. He just smiles constantly, but I'm afraid that there are thieves that break in and steal the joy of the people of God. And the reason they do is because they know the joy of the Lord is your strength, and so you have to make it up in your mind that you are as. According to the Old Testament prophet, you're going to eat the fat and drink the sweet and save a portion for those that have none. You're going to purposefully and proactively choose to focus on good things. Well, praise God, instead of negative things. Praise God. I've known some people that are very, very poor that have tremendous peace in their lives. And I've known some folks that are very wealthy And they are miserable, absolutely miserable. And people will tell you that if you, or your mind might tell you that if you just made a little bit more money, then you could be happy. Well, you need to listen to Viktor Frankl. He teaches that you don't pursue happiness. Happiness ensues. It follows you as you find your purpose in life and as you find vision in life and as you ideally serve God. Happiness is something that catches up to you as you're ministering to others and being a blessing to other people. If you're chasing happiness, it'll be elusive. You never will find it. You'll never capture it. But it's something that comes up in the middle of ministry and in the middle of living for God with a lot of zeal and a lot of passion. Praise God. So how do I not be anxious for everything? Everyone say, but in everything. By prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So when you begin to feel your anxiety button, bell start going off, then what do you do? Well, you come to God in prayer. You stop what you're doing and you come to God in prayer. You bring that need before God and you begin to give him thanksgiving. And as you do, now this is the word of God. This is not something I wrote. And the peace of God that passes all understanding. It doesn't make a bit of sense. I hadn't changed the circumstance. I didn't change what is written on the bill. I didn't change what the boss said. I haven't changed what the legal situation is. I haven't changed the nature of my circumstance that's giving rise to the anxiety. I haven't changed it at all. It passes all understanding. But now, all of a sudden, I've got peace intruding into my life and into my heart because I've come to God in prayer. It passes all understanding, and he will keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. That peace will pervade your life if you'll just stop in the middle of it. Instead of moaning, pray. Instead of complaining, pray. Instead of fretting and worrying and making the list and checking it twice and going through all the reasons why death and destruction and mayhem are coming down upon us at any moment. Instead of doing that, you pray. You push your neighbor and say, pray. Tell them pray. My God, God has given us such a wonderful, wonderful practice full of good things. And I think it's probably the most neglected part of the biblical experience for a lot of people. And it's a sad thing because most of what God's given you, you're going to receive through prayer. Now, all of this is like replacement therapy. You speak, you pray, you praise, you sing, you interact with these pressures and these problems and these thoughts. And as you do, you get something new that takes those old thoughts place. And as you speak the word of God, and as you pray unto God, and as you praise God, and as you sing a song, listen at what Paul says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, things that are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, praise God. Okay. Well, let's do a workshop then. All right. Trouble. This gets dicey because we don't want to get all into your personal business, but when there's trouble, then you need to have the word of God. You need to have a song. You need to have praise on your heart. Okay? So let's imagine you just got a letter from Alabama Power that said, we're closing down the steam plant, and you too. So that's a real reason for worry because you've got, a lot of tenure there and a lot invested there. And so what do you do when something like that happens? Has anybody ever had them move your cheese? Like you thought this is where you're going to, you may not know what I mean about who moved the cheese, but it's a little wonderful little book that tells you that they always move the cheese. You're always going to have a surprise in life. It's never going to be like you really thought it was going to be, and you're going to have to reinvent yourself. But when those things happen, God's people have a song. They've got a praise. They walk out of a place with a pink slip in their hand and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Man, it shuts down the anxiety, shuts down the pressure, shuts up the devil. It's an amazing thing. Do you think that's unrealistic? What am I going to accomplish by saying, oh, this is the end of the world. I'm going to die. Everything that I've dreamed of, it's over. It's dust and ashes. Life, as I've known it, is completely over. What good did that do? All you're doing is nailing those thoughts into permanent fixtures. They're calcifying in your mind. They'll always be there, but you've got to shoo those buzzards away before they roost and build a noxious roost and a nest in your mind. You do that by prayer and by speaking the word of God and by praise. This is proactive. You've got to get on this. You're so comfortable with your own brain and your own thoughts. It's so easy to let it just begin to sing its own song. We're going to die. This is the end. This is awful. Everything's over. But no, you don't do that. You begin to rise up in the middle of that and you begin to sing, God is able. I know that God is able. I know that God never fails. I know he's got me in the palm of his hand. I believe he's got something good for me. As I walk out of this one door, there's another door opening up for me. There's an opportunity here. God's directing my path. He's ordering my steps. I believe what the word of God has said. Somebody say praise God. And Paul says, and the peace of God will keep you. It'll keep your heart. There's just something about it. You've got to get out on the edge of the adventure of living for God. And see, when you talk like this, people think that you're being insensitive to them. Because, you know, Brother Sam, you don't know what I'm feeling. You don't know my pain. You don't know my circumstance or my trouble. I do know the word of God, though. And I know that it's universal, and I know that it works for anybody, anywhere, anytime. I believe that. The application of the word of God will change your life and change your circumstance. When the king comes and says, you've got to eat my meat and drink my wine, and you're a Jewish boy in captivity, you don't sit there and say, oh, I've got to compromise everything and change everything. You stand up in the middle of your conviction and the word of God and say, we will not eat the king's meat. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll show you that God will produce in my life good things, even in challenging circumstances. We don't bow to the tower of gold in the plain of Dura. We don't eat the king's meat and we come out on top. And you can throw us in the fire if you want, but we don't burn. We've got a non-flammable tag in the back of our body. My God, somebody say praise the Lord. Does anybody believe all this? Do you believe what the word of God says? That needs to be your mantra. That needs to be your song. Then sings my soul, my Savior, to thee. Yeah, it's pitiful, isn't it? In the middle of trouble, he's a little bitty God. He's a little bitty God. I know God does it for others, but you get so many excuses and so much claptrap going on in your brain. Break loose and sing a song. Say what the word of God has said. Be assertive. Pray a dominion prayer in the middle of it. Get an attitude about this. Praise God. I think the word of God works. I really do. As you utilize these gifts that God has given you, you literally do practice replacement therapy. It replaces all of that garbage, all of those negative and denying and faithless things. It replaces them with what the word of God has said. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to reach over and lay your hand on somebody right now, and I want you to pray for them according to the word of God. I want you to pray for them. God, I know you're able. I know you want to bless this brother, this sister. I know that you're able to change their circumstance, bless their life, give them good things, rain down blessings on them, oh God. Ah, hallelujah. Look at every enemy they have, oh God. Let them come in one way and let them scatter out seven ways. Let the promise of God come to pass in their life. Do it by the name of every name. Do it by the name above every name. Do it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I through reading these scriptures that Paul has given us in his epistles, I infer a few things. I'm about to quit here. Your thought life is random, it's spontaneous, it's easily stimulated from the outside. There's all kind of traffic up there. It's subject to outside voices, but your thought life can be controlled. You have the control. You're sitting in the middle of that. You are body, soul, and spirit. Your body is your interface to the natural world. Your spirit is the interface to the spirit world. You, in your mind or your soul, if you would, you sit at the controls and you direct how you're going to process all the information and the decisions you're going to make and the attitudes you're going to stand in. You determine all of that. You have all the controls in your hands. It's not determined by where you came from, what your daddy did, or what he thought. It's determined by what you want to do and what kind of outcome you want to have. And so you can control by will and by conditioning, by affecting and utilizing the process of the Word of God. You can control your thought life. Has anybody had your brain washed by the Word of God? I mean, literally, you got a much better mindset right now than you ever had when you first came to God. I'm going to tell you, I've met some folks in church that they're just as crotchety and ornery and mean as they can be. It's like the Holy Ghost didn't make a dent. And then I've met some that have no faith at all. That have no faith at all. They just want to remind you of all that can't be and all that can't happen. And you know, I don't hang out with preachers very much at all. Rather, if I got time, I'm going to spend it with my wife and my children and my grandbabies. Excuse me. But I don't hang out with them much. But I if I do hang out with a preacher, I'm going to hang out with a preacher that wants to tell me something good. I want to hear some good report. I don't want to hear mess about what who's doing what and about all the devils and dingbats in their church and all the trouble they have. I don't want to hear all that. I'm not interested in that. I want you to tell me something good. If you can't say something good, keep your mouth shut. That's biblical advice. My mama told me that, but she got it out of the Bible. If you can't say something good, Sister Riggs, just be quiet. That's right. You believe that doctrine. I know you do. That's right. Reach over and slap Jeff. No, don't do that. I don't know what got a hold of me. Don't do that. That's what mamas are for. Mamas are for that. I saw, we were sitting in Shoney's one night, and Giovanni was a little bitty guy. And in the middle of playing and playing with all those kids, he just forgot himself. And he just cussed out loud, big as anything, in front of everybody. I mean, because we're all church folks at the table, so it's like, somebody just cussed. Sister Franca stood up like a mighty matriarch and started making her way toward him. And I don't know how old. He might have been six, I think. And he looked at her, and he just started slapping himself. Bam, 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 bam. Slapping himself in the... He's like, you don't have to get up. I'll take care of this. I know exactly what's coming. You know, that has a curative effect on you. My mom used to wash our mouths out with lava soap. Do you even know what lava soap is? It has volcanic pumice in it. It's good for mechanics and steel workers and people with grime under their fingernails. And man, I mean, we were farmers. It would get it all off. You know, if you had
elbows that need a scrub. She could, what do you call that when you exfoliate? She could
exfoliate you. And she'd make us brush our teeth with lava soap or whatever soap was there when we said something mean or hateful or ungodly. Well, she would get a visit from DHR today. But it was a very effective, practice. I'm just saying, you can change by behavior and by some process, you can change your thought life and your practice based on that thought life. I mean, the back of a hand is curative. You know, it really, really is. It's just like, I mean, you're just sitting there and you're rattling off and you don't even see it coming. Bam! I'm not teaching child abuse. I'm just telling you, it works. It works. If it was abuse, it did me good. That changes the way you think. Now you're a big adult. And for the most part, nobody's going to show up at your house and I heard what you've been saying and I know what you've been thinking. Bam! I don't think they are anyway. And nobody's going to do that for you. This is something you've got to enact for yourself and practice for yourself and work the process for yourself. You're not a child anymore. You got to leave childish things. You've got to take yourself in hand and make yourself into the man or the woman that God has purposed for you to be. And that all is going to begin with your thought life. New knowledge, new thoughts. And the next time we get together, we'll talk about new vision or imagination that arises out of that. Let's stand together. Praise God. Why don't we come down to the altar like families tonight? Praise God. And when you're with your family, you kind of know. If you don't have family here, adopt somebody. And you just need to rehearse with them. You guys got any problems? Well, in the altar tonight, you need to rehearse. God's bigger than our problems. God's got an answer for every difficulty. God's able in our situation. You need to be speaking that to one another right now. God can take care of us. God can turn aside every enemy. God can break the back of everything that rises up against us. Ah, hallelujah. You believe that? You're not talking. Say it. God is good. God is able. Problems in your body, problems in your home, problems in relationship. Doesn't matter. Problems with the children. God is able. God is bigger than all those things. Hallelujah. 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 God is able. While you got your hand on them there, begin to pray for one another. God's anointing, God's strength, God's blessing. Praise the Lord. Tell that one you've been praying for, God's got it in control. He's gonna do something.